The Rockets win. I've been a little bit down on the win because I was expecting a better overall performance. The effort out there was fine, but I was expecting a better performance. They were up 17-6 early, and I thought they would kind of cruise from there. That wasn't the case. Minnesota kind of grinded their way back into the game. The Rockets ended the first half pretty well, up by 7. Then Minnesota all of a sudden goes on a run. They take the lead, and it's kind of touch and go for most of the third quarter into the fourth quarter before they finally pull away, kind of, before they end up winning by 3 in a finish that was a little bit too close for comfort, in my opinion. You have some excuses for the way they performed.
I have at least 6 excuses here that I know you're going to shoot down, but I want to hear exactly how you're going to shoot them down. Let me start this. You know what? No, I'll save this one for like the third or fourth one. I'm going to say this. They haven't played a meaningful game in weeks. They've had the number one seed locked up. All right, great. This is going to go smashingly. Chris Paul hasn't played that much basketball in the last few weeks, even though he came back and looked pretty good after he came back. He's not actually really, in my opinion, in playoff basketball shape. Like his actual physical conditioning, because he hasn't played all that much basketball.
I'm not really buying that. He rested on Wednesday. He played Tuesday against LA, 27 minutes. He played 35 minutes in that loss to OKC last Saturday, 31 against Portland when he bailed him out with that shot off the backboard.
Yeah.
He played 33 against Washington. I'm not going to buy that.
Did he play 4 straight?
Played 4, yeah. I think he played 4 games in a row.
I thought he took one off in there in between somewhere. Yeah. Other than that, again, you know, I made the argument that they didn't need to be resting those guys because it's not like those were hard. Those weren't hard, arduous minutes that Harden and Paul were playing. But it was also that weird zone you had for 2 weeks where not everybody was playing all the time and some guys were getting breaks. And in terms of the entire team getting into a flow, it wasn't even just the urgency. It was just that everything was in flux for a couple weeks. You made the point. Okay. And this would be my third point. The Minnesota Timberwolves have been fighting for their playoff lives the past several weeks. And they are already, if they're going to be sharp, they're as sharp as they could possibly be right now. And they faced a Rockets team that was a little bit murky.
That one, I would also buy that one, that Minnesota's been playing for their playoff lives for a couple weeks now, but especially the last 5 or so games where they knew they had to win every single one going into those games to realistically have a chance, and especially based on the way they played against Denver, that they're used to playing with this much at stake, whereas the Rockets have not the last few weeks specifically.
Let me give this excuse for the Houston Rockets in only barely beating the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Timberwolves are simply better than people want to concede. Like, they see 8 seed, and they think, okay, this is an 8 seed. You should be way better than this. You should be blowing them out. Why are you struggling? And it's an 8 seed. And they're not recognizing that, wait a second, you've got some really quality basketball players on this team, and they are coached by Tom Thibodeau. Is there anybody who thinks that Tom Thibodeau is a bad basketball coach?
No.
No, there's not. That's not even a rhetorical question.
John Harris, by the way, at 9:20 on if the Texans should or should not go after Dez Bryant. Yeah, I think most of the things that you list here, I'm gonna flat out believe.
Let me ask you this one. You believe this? Maybe the Rockets are just making a case to LeBron that they need him. This is just keeping it.
I think LeBron's teammates are making that case for him right now.
Is LeBron? One of our listeners asked us this a couple hours ago, and we never got to it. But just was it that if LeBron loses this, is that gonna cement it in his mind that he needs to leave? Like, well, LeBron losing, LeBron. If the Cavs continue to perform like this in the playoffs, does that make it more likely that he leaves?
I would say more likely, yes. Yeah.
Because that's like a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, and it would be between, I think, when you look at it, Houston, the Lakers, and the Sixers seem to be the candidates that everybody's talking about right now. But yeah, if Cleveland, to me, does not make the NBA Finals and play well enough to feel like they have some sort of chance, then I think there's a really decent chance of him leaving, even though I will go on the record and say, I don't think LeBron has made up his mind.
I don't think he's made up his mind. Just like he hadn't really, I'm trying to remember, when he left Miami, he hadn't really made up his mind about that until after the playoffs.
It wasn't really a topic during the playoffs much.
I know it wasn't a topic, but I'm talking about, he's talked about it since. Like, when was his actual timeline? I don't think he really considered or thought about it at length until after the finals were over.
I'm not sure. I think so. Yeah. LeBron has, if you look at all the moves that he's made, the two big ones, Cleveland, Miami, Miami back to Cleveland, LeBron has clearly made the decision that is in the best basketball interests of his career. Cleveland initially was capped out. They built horribly around him. He went to Miami with two other great players. Then in 2014, that thing had run its course. He saw what Cleveland had with Kyrie, with the number one pick, all these different things, and he felt like the narrative really helped out, and he had to go back to Cleveland, all that. But the basketball thing at that, the basketball thing made sense to go back to Cleveland at that point.
What were you going to say, Landry?
What happened to Tristan Thompson yesterday? Because I didn't watch the game, but we all know about his drama. He got caught cheating on his pregnant girlfriend.
And then he had the baby. Kardashian. Well, she had the baby.
Then she had the baby last week. I'm looking at the box score because I didn't really watch this game. He played 2 minutes yesterday.
Crazy. Yeah. This is, dude, you know what?
2 minutes.
You want to localize this? James Harden last year
did it for
was
Khloe?
With Khloe Kardashian. What?
2 years ago.
What, Landry?
I said he had a good game for Khloe.
No. When he was with Khloe 2 years ago, it was just an abject disaster. It was a mess. And now Tristan Thompson got him. I'm not going to blame Khloe Kardashian for Tristan Thompson cheating on her and whatnot. But I will, you know what? I'll blame that whole lifestyle for the fact that it was in the national media and that it became blown up like it did. Or I'll say for even the fact that he got caught in the first place. And I'm not blaming Khloe herself one bit, but I will blame Tristan Thompson or James Harden or anybody else that steps into that world that all of a sudden everything is hyper scrutinized and any little transgression is going to get blown up and put out there and publicized. And now you've got the Cleveland Cavaliers getting 2 minutes out of Tristan Thompson after he's been embroiled in this week-long fiasco, this scandal. It's just not a good thing for professional athletes to get involved in that whole world.
No,
it's just a bad, bad thing.
Yeah, I can't argue with any of that. Go ahead.
No, you go
ahead. Thompson, to me, is one of the biggest underachievers in the league. This guy's 27 years old. This guy was a key part of the reason why they won the NBA Finals 2 years ago. He was on the offensive glass like a madman. He was 25 at the time. I know a lot of people want to blame LeBron for the contract that he got because it's the same agency and all that. I understand that, but he gets the contract, and he's become a far worse player. You take the guy that they had 2 years ago, I'd pay that guy that money, but this guy is terrible.
Yeah, I wonder... I'm looking at Oklahoma City, and I'm thinking about what they did where they go out and get Carmelo and Paul George, but you sacrifice your depth because of that. Now people are making excuses for Westbrook.
I have a
last
theory.
Last year was that, like, oh, he doesn't have any stars with him, and now it's like, oh, no, he doesn't have any depth. People love making those excuses for Westbrook.
I have a theory.
Well, let me ask you.
Go ahead
first.
Let
me tell you my theory before you tell me your theory. It's this. If LeBron were to come here to squeeze Chris Paul, LeBron James, and James Harden onto the same team, you're going to have a massive bloodletting and figure out how to get rid of a bunch of other quality basketball players. Are we being blinded a little bit by what that might potentially look like?
I disagree because I think Daryl Morey has been very, very, very good at finding guys on minimum salaries that
like
contribute
Bam
very
Utsa.
Significantly. Nene was a minimum guy. I think Daryl Morey, one of his strengths is getting guys on minimum. Gerald Green this year.
Ryan Anderson.
No.
Yeah,
not
that's
so
my
much.
Point. You've got some bloat here that you're going to have to figure out how to handle.
And well, that would be
Anderson
the big one.
You thought it was hard to get rid of Ryan Anderson last year? Good luck this year.
Well, actually, it might be easier.
Yeah,
depending,
because he's closer to the end.
He's closer to the end
of
the contract.
As much you're taking on.
No, that's totally not a bad theory. I also agree with Landry.
I'm talking about, like, okay, I understand your Mba Amute, but I mean even like a Trevor Ariza, PJ Tucker, all
of
those,
course.
Those contracts
yeah, yeah.
are and like you can't keep all of them.
Of course, yeah, and you would have to have faith in Daryl to really maximize those slots.
Yeah.
But you would take that problem. That is a very rich person problem right there. And that's just the way it is. And I don't think LeBron's coming here if you win the NBA championship. So if you lose, then you'd feel like, hey, you need to add something to this team. And I would take that problem. All right, here's my theory. So if you look at the Jazz-Oklahoma City game, you will notice that Paul George was great in the game. He scored 36 points. He was tremendous. Theory. Paul George saw what Victor Oladipo did in the Cleveland Indiana game one when Oladipo was great. 32 points. He was the best player on the court. Victor Oladipo was the best player on the court, production-wise, in a game that LeBron James played. Fact. Oladipo was traded for Paul George, along with Sabonis, in a trade that a lot of people, including myself, impugned at the time. Paul George, when he stepped onto the court yesterday, was well aware of what Oladipo did and the narrative surrounding that, and Paul George, he balled out in game one.
Okay.
Theory.
Yeah, okay.
Agree, disagree?
Yeah, I think that's it. He knows what the story's going to be.
Okay.
He's like, I got to prove my worth. Yeah.
I figured you guys would shoot it down, but that was my theory.
Well, I mean, it's not like you're... that's like a normal human emotion thing.
Yeah.
That's not even a theory, really. It was like, I wonder if this has happened.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So it's not really going on a limb.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
No, it's not going on a limb at
Fair
all.
Enough.
A theory would be that, like, I don't know, the owner came down and said that you need to do this. You've disappointed us. I don't know.
Yeah. And they're not going to... And they would not do that, obviously.